question. Why are you here today? What purpose have you come for? What's the reason that brought you, or the excuse that brought you? There were hundreds of other things you could have done this morning. Good things, fun things, enjoyable things. But you, for some reason, have chosen to be in this place at this time. Why? What makes a quality church? What makes a church sound? How do you know this is the church that you should be a part of? Those are things that we should really contemplate and think about and consider as we live our life here in this world. And if we make the effort to be here at the times of assembly, there has to be a reason that we have come for to be here. You know, when I travel, and this has been my custom for a lot of years now, when I'm traveling around the country to different places, I have a couple of different directories of Churches of Christ that help me find a place to worship. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the things I have always encouraged members of the church where I've been preaching or where I've been, is that one of the things that's terrible is for individuals to take a vacation from work and then also at the same time take a vacation from God. When I am vacationing, I make arrangements to be worshiping my God if I'm going to be gone on those times that I normally worship Him, especially on the first day of the week. It's a good thing, and it is always a good thing to be with people who have a like mindset when it comes to serving God. It's encouraging to you, and it's encouraging to them where you may be traveling through or in. I use these directories to find a place of worship, and some of these have non-institutional churches. They have others that have lists of all the Churches of Christ. But what makes a sound church? What makes a church sound? And in fact, what does it mean to be sound? What does that mean? Well, Webster's New World Dictionary says, number one, free from defect, damage, sound timber. Number two, normal and healthy, a sound body and mind. Number three, firm and safe, stable, secure, etc. A sound bank. In Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, it says, number one, free from flaw, defect, or decay, undamaged, unimpaired. Number two, healthy, not weak, or disease, robust, of body and mind. Number three, firm, strong, safe, also figuratively secure and trustworthy. Number four, solid in structure, also firm in texture, stable. Number five, found in truth or right, not fallacious or faulty. And so could we say that to be sound is to be free from injury, damage, or defect, decay, or disease, healthy, firm, strong, founded on truth or right, free from error? I think that's what sound means. And so as we answer the question, what makes a sound church? Let's be aware that a sound church is more than a group that doesn't believe in supporting orphanages or colleges out of the treasury or any number of we don't kind of things. What we want to do is we want to open our Bibles and we want to get the picture of what a sound church is from God's perspective. Because God's perspective is the only one that really matters. So a sound church is a healthy church. It's an active church. The church at Sardis in Revelation 3, in verses 1 through 3, it says, to the angel of the church at Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. Wake up and straighten the things that remain, or strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard and kept, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. You see, the church at Sardis had some things that were dead. It has some things that are dying. The overall status or the overall state of Sardis is that it was dead. It had a name that it was alive. In the past, it had been a great congregation and it had been doing lots of things and important things and spreading the gospel and doing those things. But at this point in time, it's not what it was. And Jesus says, although you have a name that you're alive, you are dead. In 1 Thessalonians 1, which Jamie read for us this morning, 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning at chapter or verse 2 through verse 10, Paul describes what I believe and what I understand to be a sound church. I want you to notice there in verse 3 that he talks about their work of faith. These people are still active in their work of faith. In verse 3 also, he mentions this idea of labor of love. You see, they are living out what James talks about in chapter 1 in verse 22 when he says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. You see, we can delude ourselves into thinking we're okay. Isn't that the problem with Sardis? They had deluded themselves into thinking they were okay because of all the things of the past. But Jesus says, you got a name that you're alive, but you're dead. This church in Thessalonica is not like that. They are proving themselves to be doers of God's will, doing the things that He would have them to be do. They were examples to other brethren, to other congregations, verse 7 tells us. You see, a sound church is one that has active members. Because the church is not this building. The church is you. And you. And you. And you. And you. We are the church. And the church is only as sound as the members are. That's why this church in Thessalonica was sound, was because the members were sound. They were being examples to all the other brethren. Think if anyone, if everyone were as active as me, how sound would this church be? That's a pertinent question. That's a question that just leaps off the page and says to me, what am I doing? Someone suggested to me this past week that the church in La Vista isn't doing enough, not doing much. Well, friends, let me suggest to you that if the church here is not doing much, what are you doing about it? Because the church in La Vista is only active if the members are active. If I'm doing something, what am I doing to make the church in La Vista active and doing and accomplishing anything? What am I doing? Every member must realize and accept his own responsibility before God. Each of us, you see, in judgment, one of the sad mistakes I remember from my childhood of individuals I have been among, the individuals who had the contemplation, the idea that we were going to heaven together as a church. And that's just not the case. We're going to heaven individually. I'm not going on your coattails and you're not going on my coattails. It depends on what I have done, what kind of individual I've been, as to whether or not I'm going to heaven. I have to realize my own responsibility and accept those responsibilities and fulfill those responsibilities to this congregation. I did a sermon not so terribly long ago about what my responsibilities, what a person's responsibilities to the congregation were. It would be good to go back and listen to it. In fact, if it got recorded. If it didn't, then I can be glad to preach it again. I've got responsibilities to you all. And you have responsibilities to me. We need to fulfill those responsibilities. That's what a sound church does. That's the kind of church that Paul's talking about in 1 Thessalonians here. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul says at the end of that chapter there, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always." Note that. Always. If you're going to underline something, underline that little four-letter word. Always. No, I hadn't a four-letter word. I was thinking also. See, I really got issues. Underline that little word, always. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That's the kind of individual I have a responsibility to be. I need to be steadfast. I need to stand on God's word and I need to stand firm. Immovable. You cannot move me. I will not budge off of God's word. That's where I must stand, and I will stay there. And I will always abound in working for the Lord. Because I know that when I labor for the Lord, my labor is never vain. It's never empty. It's never worthless. It may not accomplish much as far as the world is concerned. It may not accomplish as much as somebody else is accomplishing, but it can accomplish what I have the ability and the capability of accomplishing. A sound church is a growing church. In fact, in Acts 2, in verse 47, we're told that the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. You see, the Jerusalem church was a sound church. If we were to ask them how they were doing, they might have responded, we're holding our own. I've known and I've been with congregations that have talked that way. We're holding our own. That's not the kind of people we need to be. Why was it that the early church grew? Because Jesus said, go, and they went. Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives the Great Commission. In fact, back in verse 18, he tells them that he had been given all authority in heaven and in earth. He then says in verse 19, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Notice there. Go therefore, I'm quoting Mark 16. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the kind of thing that they needed to be doing. That's the kind of thing that we need to be doing. A sound church is a growing church. It is teaching the gospel. Each one of us has a responsibility, as we have the ability and the opportunity, to share the gospel with others. In fact, look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is how they went. In fact, you find in chapter 8 that because of the trouble that Saul was creating, they were scattered from Jerusalem, all but the apostles. And those who were scattered, what does it say about them? They went preaching the word. They left Jerusalem because of the danger their lives were in. But that didn't stop them from going and preaching the word. Jesus said, go, and they went. We need to be that kind of individual. It's not just a church that swells, but is a growing church. This growth involves more than just size and numbers, and that's an important thing to keep in mind. It includes personal growth. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Notice what Paul's saying here about walking in the Spirit. He says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. The only way for us to stand firm is for us to know what we're standing for. And that's only found in God's Word. I need to spend time in God's Word. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Bible class. I have a responsibility to hear God's Word, whether I'm reading it or I'm listening to someone else. I have a responsibility to hear God's Word and to do it. Practice it. It is possible for me to fall from salvation, isn't it? Look at verse 4. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. I can be lost. Once I've been saved, I can be lost again if I go back to the world, back to those things. Look at verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Call that the cockroach mentality. You see, cockroaches will eat one another when there's no food to eat. Sometimes that's what we do to ourselves. When we are not busy, I remember a lady telling me one time, or expressing to me, that she was just depressed all the time. She was unhappy. She wasn't feeling good. She just didn't know what to do. And I suggested that if she would stop thinking about herself and start thinking about others, it might help. You see, when I'm not active, when I'm not busy, what do I get to doing? Well, I get to looking at other people and thinking, well, they're not doing what they ought to be doing. Well, then I don't need to do it either. Or I just, you see, think about that. If I'm active, I don't have time to look at anybody else or to pick on anyone else. I won't be doing what the Galatians were doing, biting and devouring one another, harming one another. You see, a sound church does not pick on each other. They try to lift each other up. In fact, the idea, rather than picking on one another, they pick up each other. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be lifting up one another, encouraging one another. We ought to put away, at verse 19 through 21 there, we need to put away the things of the flesh. We cannot remain carnal and be pleasing to God. Look at the end of this. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Why? Because the law encourages that kind of an individual, those kind of things in your life. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That's not the kind of person I want to be. That's not the kind of person Jesus was. I want to be like Jesus. I want to seek to do the will of the Father no matter what it may cost me in this life. I've got to grow personally. If I want this congregation to grow, if I want this congregation to be sound, if I want this congregation to be strong, then I have to be strong. I have to be growing. You see? I owe you that. And you owe that to me. A sound church is a church that supports the truth. In fact, let's think about defining what the truth is. Look at Jude 3. Jude 3 says, "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." I don't make compromises. I cannot compromise the truth. The faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That faith that we find in the New Testament. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel. I must contend earnestly, wholeheartedly. Completely. I mean to throw myself all the way into it. I need to be one who preaches the truth. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, what did Paul tell this young man? Preach the word. That's what every one of us should desire to do, is to preach the word, to be ready in season, out of season. I've been told so many times. That means when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it's going to be seasonal, or it's going to be in season to hear the gospel. Sometimes it's going to be out of season, but I got to preach it all of the time. Not just some of the time. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. Sometimes I need to be corrected. And let me just express to you right now, if I'm wrong, you would be my greatest friend in setting me down and explaining that to me. I may have told you this story long time ago, even before I had started preaching. I had the custom of using euphemisms. And a brother came to me one Sunday morning. He pulled me aside and he said, "Do you realize how much cussing you're doing?" And I looked at him with the funniest look. I know I did, because I was just taken aback by that, because I was careful not to use foul language. He says, "Why don't you go home and look up these words in the dictionary and just see what it means?" I did. He was right. I quit. That was my friend. In fact, I remember preaching one time where he was attending later in later years. And I mentioned that in the sermon. And he said, "I don't even remember that." But I do. I do. It made an impression upon me. He cared for my soul. Friends, he cared about my soul enough to take me aside and say, "Raymond, you're using language you shouldn't be using, that a Christian oughtn't to be using. If I need to be rebuked, if I need to be reproved, then please be my friend. Love me and do that for me, and exhort one another." Exhort one another. But you have to do it with patience and instruction. Patience is a hard thing to get a hold of. It is not an easy thing to hold on to either. But we must strive to be that kind of person, because God has been patient with us. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. I'm to become like Christ as much as I possibly can. Speak the truth out of love, because you love souls. You see, we can't have this attitude, you're going to hell and I'm glad. I also been told, well, that church over there, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. My response was, did those words come out of my mouth? I never said anything about this church being the only one going to heaven. In fact, I don't even know that everybody in that congregation is going to heaven, because I'm not the judge. I'm not to set myself up as judge. Not my responsibility. I need to fulfill my responsibility. I hope, it is my prayer, it is my desire that all of you are going to heaven. And I want to go with you. And I want to help you get there, and I want you to help me get there. And together, by standing on God's Word, we can accomplish that. We can do that. I've got to practice the truth. You know, Jesus denounced the Pharisees for saying and not doing. In Matthew 23, in fact, there's several condemnations of the Pharisees in that chapter. He's pretty hard on them. But they needed it, because they had some pretty hard hearts. He says there in verse 3 of Matthew 23, therefore all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They were hypocrites, right? In fact, he calls them hypocrites repeatedly in that chapter. We see, we must have the attitude that if I am wrong, please tell me. Help me get right. In fact, the Sound Church is a pure church. Christ died for the purity of the church. Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. You see, to keep it that way, we must withdraw ourselves from those who are unruly, those who are disorderly. You see, we cannot tolerate sin. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5, Jesus, or the Apostle Paul writes, in the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Here's the purpose of discipline. A sound church is one that practices discipline. We cannot get along with sin. Sin cannot be a part of us. Because God cannot be where sin is. And so Paul is talking to them about this brother who had his father's wife, and he's telling them to deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Help him to see that his life's not what it should be, and that he needs to change so that his soul can be saved. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the traditions which you received from us. The traditions I need to be concerned about are the ones that the apostles delivered, not the ones that we as men have come up with. It, in fact, is everyone's responsibility to restore the erring. In Galatians 6 in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes again, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. I'll tell you what, we need to restore people because we can find ourselves in that same condition needing to be restored. We need to do gentle. I want somebody to come to me gently, tenderly. And that brother who came to me and talked to me about my euphemisms, he came to me kindly, tenderly. He advised me in a kind way. He got my attention because he cared about my soul. He was tender and he was loving, caring whether or not I went to heaven or not. Because I know, he knew that he could be tempted too. He could fall into transgression. And he'd want somebody to care about him. I need to have that idea. In fact, a caring or a strong, sound church is a loving church. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still the more. Now, did you notice what Paul says to these people? He says, I don't even need to write to you about loving the brethren because you are really getting on it. You've got it nailed down. But there's one thing I want you to do. I want you to do even more. There is no quitting in a sound church. Love demands that I love at all times and everyone and to care about everyone. How could we ever overdo love? How can we ever overdo love? Could we say to Jesus, you just loved us too much? Why, my land, you went to the cross. That was a horrible way to die. You just loved us too much. Well, 1 John 4, verses 11 and 12 said, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Think about that. Wow. If this is the way God loves us, then that's the way I need to love each other. Or we need to love each other. In fact, our love for God is determined by our loving one another. Could we say, I loved you so much, now I'll just overlook your sin? You see, love that does is not real love. Because love does not overlook sin. Because sin destroys the soul. And love does not want that person to be destroyed. Love does not overlook sin, but it rather reproves it. Again, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, what does Paul say? Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Reprove. I've got to reprove sin. In John 13 and verse 35... John 13 and verse 35. Jesus says, By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus says, He tells us very plainly here, that the world will know that we're His disciples when they see the love that we have for each other. The care that we have for each other. And I might encourage you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Oh, I'm sorry, not 1 Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13. This is the chapter we ought to think about, with one we ought to read often and contemplate, because it talks about love. What love, real love is. He says in very beginning at verse 1, If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it does not is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. It needs to be a complete part of our lives, a whole part of our lives. Question is, are we a sound church? You can answer that question. I can answer that question. I can do that. You can do that by determining this. Am I a sound Christian? What kind of person am I? Am I serving God the way I need to be? Do I need to change something? This morning you have the opportunity to do that very thing. To make your life right with God. God does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I still didn't get it, did I? Yeah. I just didn't hold it long enough. We all have the responsibility to be obedient. Do you see the need in your life to change anything? Do you see the need to become a child of God? Do you see the need to be a Christian? You have that opportunity this morning. If you don't realize what that responsibility is, and you'd like to know more about it, we'll be glad to sit down and discuss that with you and talk to you about it and look at what the Bible says about doing about that. If you're already a child of God this morning and you are not what you need to be, you're not a sound Christian, you have the right now the opportunity to change that, to turn it around and to make yourself a sound Christian. Repent, confess that. And God will forgive. And we will help you. We will encourage you. We will lift you up and strengthen you. Whatever you need this morning to be pleasing to God, if you need anything, won't you come as we stand and sing?